Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I have come from 3-Eye Atlas to give you technology. The human race has been benefiting from our technology for a very long millennia.
Yeah. Great. They just elected a Muslim socialist, the mayor of New York City. It's over.
Wait, what?
Free buses, government-run grocery stores, the end.
Who's going to pay for that?
Who's going to pay for it? I hope you have the technology.
There's going to be a mass exodus from the city.
Yeah, they're already calling him the most popular realtor in South Florida. They're going to live in Miami and go to foam parties with Marco Rubio, which isn't gay. It's just people in foam together.
Yeah, I was thinking about buying property in the city. No more.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And what about Israel?
Well...
Who is park that car in the middle of the street there.
Sorry, we're gonna move it in 2 seconds.
You're right dead smack in the middle of the line.
All right, we're moving it in 2 seconds. The people here think they have money like California, but they don't. They're actually just white trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Thank you for tuning in again. The new mayor of New York City, Zohran Mamdani, has been elected. He is the future. He is the future. Get over it. If you're unhappy about it, get over it. If you have to wear a burqa, get over it. If you have to convert to Islam, get over it. So what? If you have to start understanding the faith, so what? It's not a big deal. What are you doing? What have you got going on that is better than that? Can I ask you? What do you have going on that is better than converting to Islam? People do it in prison, and a lot of them like it. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You don't have time to read the Quran when you're online at Just Salad and you're waiting for them to add a protein to your salad so you can go to your meaningless office job? Go read the Quran. So what? Who cares? What's the big deal? Obviously, he was going to win. This isn't shocking to anybody. And yet, people still treat it as such. I get calls from people that were like, I can't believe this is actually happening. This is like Trump. When Trump won, people were calling me going, I can't believe this is actually. And I go, well, it was one of the options. It was like one of the only options. And the thing happened that everyone thought was going to happen. He was a little cringe in his speech because he's like a theater kid. And a lot of these people are theater kids. So there's a moment of his speech. Now, I don't know if you have this, but if you can get up a moment where he goes, Donald Trump, I know you're watching, and I've got 4 words for you. Turn the volume up. And it was just a moment when you could see the theater kid in him. You could see that kind of cringe, you know, that theater kid, like, just very unappealing side of him. Hopefully he keeps that at bay. Let's watch it so you can understand what I mean. Because, by the way, this is a departure from what he's usually acted like. He's been kind of composed. This feels a little bit like, it almost felt like he was breaking into song. Like he's like, Donald Trump, hear me now, I will. And you're like, all right, bro, chill the fuck out. Let's watch this.
So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have 4 words for you. Turn the volume up.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know. Yeah, okay.
Turn the volume up!
We'll see what happens. Here's my attitude with this guy. There's a lot to not like, but if it doesn't work, I will just leave because I don't care. This is the actual only way to approach. I don't care is now not only necessary and appropriate, it is vital to your mental health. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, what if he, what if he,
I don't care. I'll leave. I'll just leave. You can just leave. I don't think he's going to do the things people think he's going to do. I don't think we're going to have rapes on every corner. I hope not. But if we do, if we have a rape on every corner, like a violent rape on every corner, I'll stay for a few months because it'll be interesting. You know? But then eventually I'll be like, another rape? I'm trying to get in my steps. You know what I mean? Like if it's like, wait, another rape? What? I'm trying to go to the Greek place. So if it's going to be a rape on every corner, I'll just go. I'll just skedaddle. But I don't think it will be. But why did he win? Well, obviously, he won because people don't have money. It's pretty simple. People have these lives they plan out from when they're little. I didn't do this. My mother was a schizophrenic, and my father was like in and out of a band. Phenomenal. But we never filled out a college application. That wasn't the thing. I had a typical Long Island ne'er-do-well childhood. There were elements that were good. There were indications that I had certain qualities that might make me successful at some point. But my parents were very busy working, and they didn't really nurture my success. They just didn't really, that wasn't their thing. And again, I'm not blaming them. I'm not like, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying because of that upbringing, I expected almost nothing from the world. Like literally almost nothing. You know, but there are people out there who really start very early and believe, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just telling you the makeup of this type of person. They do well in school. They do their homework. They get into a good college. They get an internship while they're at college. They work hard at their internship. They then get a good job at a good firm and they, you know, work their ass off. And those are the people that are finding it increasingly difficult to afford New York City. Those people. The paint by numbers, pin a ribbon on me. I did all of the right things. I have all of the right views. I post all of the right things on social media. I say, you know, the things I'm supposed to say. I don't rock the boat. I am a very nice, albeit forgettable, but you know, I'm a professional face in the crowd. And I deserve more than, and they're right, by the way. They're not wrong. Do I love these people? No. They bore me. I'm bored. I don't hate them. I'm not like, kill them, but they're boring. They're normies. They're boring. They bore me. They're boring. I like people that have more to say, or maybe that are, they had a different route in life. And I, a lot of my friends are normies. And I because they're my friends, I'm friends with them. But if they weren't my friends, I wouldn't be friends with them. If I didn't know them for a long time, they would bore me to death. And it's not because of, it's not their fault. They're just boring and vapid and surface and dull and pointless, and their lives don't have any meaning, and they infect me with how boring and dull they are, and their concerns are so small and petty. What a waste of a life they live. But I don't dislike them. Do you see? But they, that is the coalition that Zoran has. He has a coalition of angry, boring, mediocre people that have done the right things and have gotten very little for it. Okay? And the things he is talking about, he's right about. Things are too expensive. People feel that they're not getting ahead. And the Republican Party, which is, have they've lost their goddamn mind. They're arguing about who's allowed to talk to who on the internet. But yet, all the flights are being grounded. The airspace is being closed. We've got a government shutdown. The money is still going out the door to so we can invade Venezuela, arm Israel, arm the Ukraine. Or it's a giveaway to Palantir so that Peter Thiel can install surveillance technology in all the cities that rioting is going to happen in 3, 2, 1. It's coming. You can feel it. And that's where the Republican Party is. So the Democratic Party, which swept New Jersey, swept New York, swept Virginia, they're concentrating on things that matter. How to get people more money. Because by the way, that is all they want to do. By the way, that sign that you see those protests, I could be at brunch right now. That's all they want. Have you tried to have brunch and how much that is? But that's all they want to do. All these people want to do is have brunch. All they want to do is have brunch. I know them. That's all they want to do. And they can't even do that. All they want to do is have brunch. All they want to do is have Nutella stuffed French toast and talk about where they want to go on vacation. Their lives have no meaning. So they need money. They need something to do. Because we've given them the idea we buy all of these people off. That's how the society works. We buy them off. They don't question anything. They're kind of like perpetual teenagers. These are the 40-year-old women with crushes on like Harry Styles, or they all love Disney. They're all constantly reliving their childhood, and men too, by the way. We buy them off. We pay them so that they can live in their homes and be perpetual, forever children. And they do their meaningless work, and they come home and they cuddle up and they watch Netflix, watch The Summer I Turned Pretty, and they're mad about it. They go, I don't know, why did it end the way it ended? And that's the lives that we've created in New York City. They're meaningless lives. People used to come to New York City and fail and die. And that might happen again soon. I'm excited. But people used to come to try to be great. You can yell at wealthy people. It's the only reason people live in New York City is to get rich, by the way, even the people that are mad at it. New York City was a city, as A.A. Gill, the great travel writer, RIP, said, was built on a lot more failure than success. It was never a nice city. It was culturally important, the most important. You know, it's the greatest city in the world in measured in the impact it's had. The only competitor is London, the only one. L.A.'s never been a competitor. Miami's not a competitor. Nashville and Austin, sorry guys, not competitors. Measured in raw impact financially, culturally. It's New York. But New York's become the burbs. It's become the suburbs. And with the suburbs come a suburban mentality. They come in with the Wegmans grocery stores and they bring the suburban mentality where everything is about convenience. Everything becomes about comfort. And it is very easy to rile these people up because they feel that they should be getting more, a bigger slice of the pie. They're not necessarily wrong. But this is why. These are the people. It's not really like, yes, are there broke people that are truly fucked? Yes. They exist, and I'm sure a lot of them voted for Zohran. But a lot of the energy his constituency brings is an energy from the burbs into New York City, and these people are trying to buy meaning in their lives because they don't understand the point. They look around, they go, what exactly is the point? That's what they're trying to figure that out. They go, I get on this subway every day. I pack in. I go to the area by Bryant Park. I go to Midtown. I go into an office and I do nothing that matters to anyone. To anyone. Nothing. Nothing. And then I have my lunch and I talk to some bitch next to me. And she does nothing that matters. Nothing. And we go then back on the train and back to our tiny apartment. And we don't know what we're getting out of this. We want more money. Because that's what the whole thing's about. People would lie. They could say it's not. But they go, what am I doing this for? Why did I move here? Why am I here if I cannot share in the disgusting wealth that certain people have? By the way, not judging it, but that's what it is. People are pissed. They go, where the fuck's my money? Where's my goddamn money? Their parents visit them in their little prison cell. And the parents go, oh, this is nice. This is nice. And it's a passive aggressive thing. And again, these are people that have 4-year degrees. Some of them have graduate degrees. They think they're very smart and they're very valuable because someone told them that. Someone somewhere told them that. Someone somewhere told them how valuable they were. They have degrees on the wall that show how valuable they are. I'm valuable. They did all the right things, and they're living in a little prison cell in Brooklyn, and they're getting older. They're getting older, and they're mad. And they're going to elect someone who's going to say, we're going to, and by the way, let it happen. I'm not even remotely upset by this guy winning. I don't care at all. And if he can help, he should help. But I've been a New Yorker my whole life, so I'm just telling you what's happening. What's happening? It's a lot of money to go to a Broadway show. It's a lot of money to go to a Yankee game. It's a lot of money to go to the U.S. Open. It's a lot of money for rent. It's a lot of money to eat. And you see these people, and they're all up there in the bleeds at the U.S. Open, taking photos in the bleeds, pissed. Pissed that I'm courtside. They're mad. They look at my fat ass courtside and they're mad. They would elect Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. They don't care. They would elect anyone to what happened, they said. They're angry. They're in the bleeds. I'm not making it all about me. I'm just saying these are the people that quote unquote did the right thing and they're in the bleeds at the U.S. Open. They can barely see. It's like a speck. Yannick Sinner is like a little speck. And fuck tennis, by the way. Who cares? Stupid anyway. It's stupid. You're supposed to only care about it for that week that it happens in New York. But they're pissed. Then they get on the 7 train and they're like, this is it? This is all it is? I go to fucking the U.S. Open. I sit in the bleeds. I put a photo on Instagram. My little brother or sister makes fun of my seats. And then I get back on the 7 train and I go back to my prison cell. And then tomorrow I get to wake up and go to the fucking office. For what? For what? For nothing. Then they go to the Hamptons, to their boss's house, and they're pissed. Because he bought it a long time ago, and now it's a lot of money, and people are being condescending to them. The boss's wife is being condescending to them, and they're mad, and they sit on that jitney bus that goes home from the Hamptons, and they're a little buzzed, and they're like, fuck it, I'll throw the burke on. I'll put a burke on. I'll put a burke on, and I'll fly a plane into a building if I have to. I'm going to fly a plane into the building. This is fucked up. They're sitting in Queens U.S. Open traffic in the jitney going, yeah, I was there the other night. I was in the fucking bleeds. Now I'm coming back from my boss's fucking scumbag Labor Day party in the Hamptons. His cunt wife was demeaning to me and my other worthless friend. I'm a worthless piece of shit. Fuck all these people. Kill them. Take what they got, kill them, fly the plane into a building. Get on that plane and fly it into a building. I'm sick of it. That's the energy. That's the energy. 9/11 was nothing if it wasn't cinematic. Okay? Everyone's a star of their own movie in their mind, and a lot of these people's movies suck. What movie is this? Ugh. You're on some Hinge date in some hellish Bushwick bar trying to sound smarter than you are with nothing. Nothing. And you're mad. You're mad. You go, I can't live like this anymore. You're going to fly a plane into a building. I want to fly a plane into a building. I'm going to fly a plane into the Pentagon. That might not have happened. It might probably was a missile. I want to shoot a missile into the Pentagon and say it was a plane. That's what the smart people say. I want to shoot a missile into the Pentagon and say it's a plane. Your friend goes, why would you do that? Because narratives matter. Jesus, are you listening to me? They're angry, these people. What life is it? People start realizing, now I had comedy. I had a terrible life. I lived in horrible places. I spent time with, you know, with all kinds of, all manner of degenerates. But I was doing one thing. I was trying to do a thing. So, like, it shielded me from ever evaluating my life. There was no other metric to which I evaluated my life. I was like, oh, I got on that show and I killed on that show. But I lived in a dump. I didn't have a lot of social shit going on, like almost none. Okay? I had no money. I wasn't in a thrilling relationship, okay? I wasn't like walking into my apartment and some guy with a huge dick was just hitting me in the head with it. I was just trying to get by doing one thing and one thing well. And I accepted the uncertainty and hellishness of that. This group will not. They will not. Number one, there's nothing for them to do, by the way. There's nothing for them to do. And number two, the promise of their life is comfort since they're young. The promise of their life is comfort. Nobody's going to say anything to them that they dislike. So they right now are fully, justifiably, from their point of view, angry, and they want to fly a plane into a building. That's what they want. And I get it. They want to fly a plane into a building and then another plane into another building and then another building that wasn't even hit should just collapse. That's how mad they are. Collapse because of fire at its core. Wah, wah, wah. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this sports season on Prize Picks. Whether you're a football fan, a basketball fan, or a fan of both like me, it always feels good to be right. I'm telling you right now, I'm so excited about this. It's so simple to play Prize Picks. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. Play Prize Picks to get action on football and basketball in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks now offer stacks, meaning you can pick the same player for up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Steph Curry's points, 3 points and assists? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code TIM to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TIM to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. And now no one can travel. Now nobody's going anywhere. Let's see how bad these... Oh, let's watch her for a minute. This woman, I don't know this woman. Democrats are ascendant, and they should just shut up, because here's the deal. They're winning. When you're winning, it behooves you to pipe down. Just win. Don't be the angry winner. What's that? Nobody wants that. So the Democrat pundit class, again, gets it. This woman apparently is famous because she's some type of, I don't know what she is.
She hosts a podcast called I've Had It.
Yeah, great. So she, and her name's Jennifer Welch.
Yes.
And she's a liberal white woman, and God bless her. And hey, I get it. And she's here and she's ragging on white people and saying America has no culture. And you would think on a night where you were celebrating a historic win, you would just shut up and let it happen. But instead, we're doing this. Let's see.
Here right now, everything's boring as shit. I've grown up in those circles. Everybody needs some spice and some color in their lives. Life's a lot better. That's the coolest thing about Americans. Americans have no culture except for multicultural.
Well said.
And we need to teach people how to embrace that. These crusty white people need to learn how to embrace it.
Okay, so she goes, Americans have no culture except multiculturalism, and these crusty white people need to embrace it. This is a teachable moment. And the lesson here that should be learned is that that energy is the opposite of everything that is going to propel them to win. What's propelling them to win right now is talking about the fucking money. It's about the fucking money. People don't have enough. She's going to a place nobody wants to go. It doesn't help anybody to talk about old crusty white people and Americans having no culture. It's not true that America doesn't have a culture, but let's forget that point. Obviously, that's not true. But the reason that she doesn't, she's going obviously towards culture and the kind of like aesthetic concerns of a like wine drunk white lady is because she's constantly trying to show, and this is not just her, I don't even know about this woman, I don't care, but it's that group of people, they're constantly trying to show how evolved they are. By throwing their own people under the bus. White people don't have any culture. These old crusty white people. I mean, she's kind of talking about herself. She's not a young woman. She's an older woman. She's talking about herself. She goes, these old crusty white people, I run in those circles. She even said that. She goes, I come from these circles of white rich people. We know. And what she's saying is, fuck us. We suck. The only way we have any value is if we embrace multiculturalism, whatever that means, you know? So calm her down, quiet her down, and keep this about money. If you keep it about money, the Republicans are fucking people now, and it's going to get ugly. Let's go into these flights, because I am curious about... This is Secretary Sean Duffy warns Democrats that in 1 week, the shutdown will cause mass chaos as air traffic controllers miss paychecks, possibly forcing airspace closures. And by the way, spoiler alert, we're there. We're there right now. Let's watch.
The controllers got 90% of one payment, 80 to 90% of one payment. They missed the second paycheck. On Thursday, they get an email pay stub that'll show what their next payment is going
to
be.
Just first of all, pause this. Just go to work. if you're an air traffic controller. Be honest. Just go to fucking work. No, literally. Is this why you do it? For money? You scumbag? That's why you do it? For fucking money? That's what, when the plane lands safely, all you care about is money? What a disgusting culture we've created. Go to fucking work, slobs.
That'll show what their next payment is going to be. So this Thursday, they'll get an email that shows that their pay stub is a big fat zero. Many of the controllers said, a lot of us can navigate missing one paycheck. Not everybody, but a lot of us can. None of us can manage missing two paychecks.
I'll do it.
So if
pause
if
it. I'll do it. How hard could this be? I'll do it. I'll do it. Let volunteer air traffic controllers do it now. Let them do it. All the January 6th people that were pardoned, put them in a tower. Put the air traffic controllers in a tower, January 6th people that were pardoned. Put them in a tower now. How hard could this be? It's easy. There's the plane. All right, land on the runway to your left. Hey, Southwest, behind him, chill. You relax. Southwest, in fact, do a go around. I don't even, we got an Emirates on the fucking, we got an Emirates on the runway. I don't even want to see your broke ass, Southwest. Do a go around. We don't want you landing near an Emirates, okay? You fucking hick. How hard could it be to be an air traffic controller? We need volunteers to step the fuck up and start doing the air traffic control in this country. Volunteer air, it's actually a great idea. Volunteer air traffic controllers. People that are retired, they're bored, they don't need the money. Some of these people drive Uber to just do something, have a little extra cash. Let's make them air traffic controllers. If you're a retired person and you're not a total fucking retard and you could come in, we'll give you a quick little, you can explain this in an hour. I guarantee you can explain this in an hour. It's not that complicated. The whole thing is just you're in the tower and you see the planes. Yeah. Be a plane and I'll be a person in the tower. Hello, LaGuardia.
Air traffic control, this is Spirit 729. We are coming in for landing. Are we good to go?
You're good to go. It's Spirit 729. Just do your thing. Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Do your thing.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. Maybe we're at a point where pilots need too much help. That's the other thing. Like, maybe we're at that level where it's like, what is this? Yeah, there's a runway. Put the plane on the runway and then get out of here. I mean, what do these bums need? And TSA, they're not showing up. No one's showing up because apparently it's all about money to these people. They don't care. Father and son stung to death by hornets while on a ziplining vacation in Laos. This is a very sad story. And it makes me very happy that my father never really took me on any vacations where we did any thing that was about physical exertion. My father would take me to places like the Chatham Sheep Herding Company where we would make, we'd watch lesbians make cheese. But you know what? I'm alive. My father took me to the Blantyre Castle once. The Blantyre was a castle in Massachusetts. It was a Relais and Chateau property. Many of the people here are, you know, probably don't know what it is. No offense, but it probably closed. But it was a really nice place. I liked to go see rich things when I was young. And like, they didn't really even let children at the Blantyre. See if the Blantyre is still there. Lenox, Massachusetts. They didn't even like children at the Blantyre. But my father was like, he's not a regular kid. He's not going to want to run around. He just wants to see this castle and he just don't let the souffle fall before it gets to the table. He hates that. I don't know where to take him. Just please let me take this faggot to your castle. He wants to go. He wants to go to this castle. He doesn't want to go to Disney World. Look at this. And because he had a friend in Massachusetts and we visited them and then we went to this cat. I wanted to see the castle. I wanted to see because I knew that I had to direct my family because my literal My mother and father took me to a place once called the Enchanted Forest. This was like an amusement park in Canada. Look this up. I guarantee you they were trying to human traffic me. I guarantee you that's what they were trying to do. Because no one's even heard of this. It was like in Canada. Look how creepy this park is, by the way, if you can get this up. Yeah, here it is. They took me to this. I wanted to go to Disney World. They took me to this Satan festival in the park. Okay? This is a real thing. Look how creepy this is. They took me to this. It was like this bootleg, weird park. Okay? And I guarantee you they were... This was like a vacation. So I had to start asking and telling my parents where I wanted to go. I would look up, you know, things like I would read and I would, there would be a mention, like I'd read the New York magazine or something. And there'd be a mention of a place and they'd be like blank, blank met at the Blantyre or met at wherever. And then I would tell my parents, cause we didn't have the internet back then. I'd go, hey, can we go to this? I know you're both white trash, but I'd like to go to this. So occasionally they would take me to one of these places and they would go like, and then they would walk in and my mother would walk in with like a Mickey sweater on and my father would walk in and I was so deeply ashamed of them. So deeply ashamed of them. And I would walk in behind them and I would look probably good. I had like a kind of an air to me. And I remember once, one of the best times ever when I was a little kid, I was sitting in this literal, we were having lunch in this castle, the Blantyre. And a woman walked in and she said, where is Maurice? And the guy went, oh, Maurice is out today. She goes, I've planned the whole thing with Maurice. I've planned this entire thing with Maurice. He goes, yeah, you know, everything's going to be exactly as you had it planned, but he's just not in today. And then the woman went, call him. Call him. And he goes, oh, well, it's his day off. And the woman goes, call Maurice. And me and my father thought that was hilarious. Because number one, when you're poor, like I was, and my father was, nothing's better than seeing another poor person abused. That is the greatest feeling in life. If you have a day off from getting abused, seeing another loser get abused is great. Number two, I immediately knew that I wanted to be in a place like that because I found it very, it was a moment of beauty to me. Everyone says that movie Rudy is really inspiring, which I get. But to me, that was very inspiring when she said, call Maurice. Call Maurice. Where the fuck is he? It's the day of the event. Where is he? I've planned the whole thing with him. And I found that really inspiring. I said, that's kind of a beautiful moment there between different types of people and everyone doing, and it was kind of beautiful. Now, of course, the commies in the audience get mad at that because they think they should be the one planning the event. Sorry. But there was something beautiful there about that woman. I knew immediately that woman wasn't happier than the waiter. She wasn't, her life wasn't necessarily better because she had more money. Her material concerns were better, but her life was not necessarily happier and it might not, it didn't have more value than that waiter. But in that moment, I understood that this woman, for whatever reason, wanted to, she just wanted Maurice. She didn't care about anything else. It was a level of focus as a child. My family never had any focus. My mother and father would try. My dad would be like, we're going to jog every morning. I'd say, okay, we do it one time. One time. And then like 3 months later, we'd walk one other time. There was no focus. My mother didn't have any focus. They would get distracted by like food, pizza, ugh. They get distracted, no focus. And the focus at the Blantyre Castle that I remember is this woman go, where is Maurice? Straight lock eyes with the guy. Where is he? I planned it with him. He's not in today, but I planned it with him. Well, everything will be the same. Call him. I want to talk to him. I want to hear why he's not in. I want to hear the sound of his voice. Focus. Tunnel vision. There was something beautiful about that. And as a young child, to me, that is still my best vacation. That's the vacation I enjoyed the most. Because I got to see that. Who gives a fuck? I've done Batman the Ride. Who cares? What is that? Who cares? Okay? That was a moment that I'll always remember my entire life when a woman had had enough and she wanted Maurice. And I sat there and my father kind of giggled as he like ate his soup. And he goes, they're not, she's not playing around. He said that to me. He goes, she's not playing around. And even he knew that she wasn't fucking around. You know? And my father, one thing that I've always been proud about of my father is that he never pretended that our family unit was something it wasn't. He always was like, listen, those people are in that part of the world because they're not slobs. We are disgusting and lazy, slovenly bums. That's my family. That's a photo of everyone in my family right there with a cane and a top hat because we're Irish. And the Irish are just to talk and to bullshit and to make jokes, okay? There's other groups of people that have it more together. Who knows who they are? Arabs and Jews, perhaps. Chinese. Those are guesses. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the U.S. experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news, Hims makes getting access to treatment simple so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. Through Hims, you can access personalized prescription treatment options for ED like hard mints and sex RX plus climax control if prescribed. Hims offers access to ED treatment options ranging from trusted generics that cost 95% less than brand names to hard mints if prescribed. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with a simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for ED and more all in one place. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/TIM. That's Hims.com/TIM for your free online visit. Hims.com/TIM. Actual the price will depend on product and subscription plan. Future products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve to verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, important safety information. Morgan & Morgan is my favorite law firm. It's America's largest personal injury law firm. Their fee is free unless they win. So, I mean, they're really getting the best settlements for their clients. For over 35 years, they've been fighting for the people just like you and me. They've gotten more than 1,000 lawyers and 100 offices nationwide. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is like hiring an army that has your back. If you're injured by someone else's negligence, you deserve to be paid. And here's the truth. Not all law firms are the same. Hire the wrong one and you may be beat before you even start. If you're ever injured, you could check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/TIM. That's forthepeople.com/Tim. This is a paid advertisement. But what was I even? I don't even know the point here. But the point is that I'm just saying that, like, wait, why did this guy die with his kid? My father never said, let's go ziplining. He would say to me, we're slobs and we're nothing. You understand that? And I go, yeah, of course I do. And he goes, they don't even, this is a serious place. These are serious people. These are real people. Daniel Owen, 47, and his 15-year-old son Cooper were swarmed and stung more than 100 times while they were ziplining at an eco-adventure resort near Luang Prabang on the Mekong River in Laos on October 15th. This is why rich people, I know some rich people now, and all they do is bullshit like this. All they do is shit like this to get their jollies. They do very dangerous stuff. They sail around the world. Some of them fight in the Ukraine war. Whatever it is, they are bored. So they're always doing death-defying stunts. And now, here's the great thing about what Trump's done to the country. Now a death-defying stunt is just sitting on a Delta flight on a runway waiting and hoping. You don't have to go to Laos, okay? You don't have to get stung by a bunch of bees. You just pray, hope and pray while you're sitting on a runway that your flight is not launched into United, into another United plane, because everybody's exhausted and tired and they've had enough, which is why we need volunteer air traffic controllers to come in. And so can we play some of this Christy Noem repost disturbing AI generated music video about self-deportation? This is the Homeland Security, by the way. And by the way, Kesh Patel defending his girlfriend, going, she's actually a great singer. We're going to go to that, too. The administration is a reality show. That's what it was designed to be. And the reason it's designed to be that is because behind the scenes, they are plotting, I believe, to destroy the world. But let's see. Christy Noem.
Deportations. Self-deportations, come on. Self-deportations, come on. There's an option just for you, the path is clear. Self-deportation, no longer live in fear. We'll help you pack your things, we'll pay for your flight too. We gonna celebrate your departure with you. Come on now. Self-deportations.
Stop it for a minute. Does this seem like a serious government? I'm just asking here. Does this seem like a serious government? Does it seem like these people are serious, capable people that are figuring out ways to, or does this seem kind of like a joke? Does it feel a little bit like you're being trolled by these people? It does feel a little bit like that. Go to Kesh Patel's tweet about his girlfriend and how she's such a great singer. And he's sick of people making fun of her. And, I mean, obviously she's not dating Kesh Patel for any other reason other than the fact that she's getting something out of it. I don't know what that is. I'm all for transactional relationships. I'd prefer, you know, to not date people that are, you know, potential spies, but who knows? We don't know. Maybe she's not. Part of the issue with the Trump team is that half the administration and the people that are around it believe that America needs an aristocracy, that we need to get rid of democracy, and we need to just elevate a group of elite aristocrats to run the country, and that's the Yarvin types. And there are a lot of big donors that are coming into play. There's a guy's name I'm escaping. It's Chris Ruskirk or Rusk something. And Bannon, who's kind of on the other side, is going, I hate this tech oligarchy. I hate them, and I don't want anything to do with them, and they scare me, but they have all the money. So half of the Trump administration is people that are genuinely going, what can we do to tank the economy, crater it, and then build it back our way? How do we usher in a surveillance state that's more draconian even than the one we have now? How do we eliminate any constitutional checks and balances on what we want to do? They believe the American government has failed and they want to replace it now. That's a lot of the tech people that are in Washington, D.C., and I know a lot about a lot of them, and this is, and you can too, by the way. It's pretty easy to look up. This isn't like hidden. That's a substantial power faction within that administration. People that want to get rid of the American government and replace it with an AI government or a straight up oligarchy of tech feudalists who don't believe in representative government. They believe in buying you off with crypto, which will be biometrically linked to you when you're born. You know, it'll be like your eyes blink and you've got however much crypto they think you need to survive. because there's not going to be any jobs. These are the conversations that they're having. The jobs are going to go away. And then what are you going to do with all these people? Well, you need to surveil them. You need to find a way to give them money. But I don't think you're going to be traveling. I don't want you traveling. They've even said that. Larry Fink has come out and said, hey, folks, you know, we're in the period where all these assets are being tokenized. It's all going on the blockchain. And, you know, we're beginning a massive transformation of the economy. You could call it the fourth industrial revolution, but it is a massive transformation of the existing economy. So you have guys like Larry Fink and Connor, get up that thing where the guy says, I don't know if we've played it on the show before, where he goes, you may travel. If you're a rich person, you may travel. But if you're a poor person, you might travel from your house. You might put on some VR goggles, sit on your couch, and that's how you're going to travel. So all of this chaos is ultimately good for that contingent of people in Washington, D.C., and Silicon Valley and other places as well. One of these big donors is from Ohio, and they want you to sit in your house. They don't want you on a plane. They don't want you going anywhere, and they're counting down to when you have no job. And they're trying to figure out how to keep you from storming the fucking federal court or the governor's mansion or whatever when you have nothing. This is all, none of this is like some wacky conspiracy far out thing. This is generally meetings behind closed doors in Washington, D.C., people going, what do we do with them? Let's watch this.
People of means who are going to travel. And then there's going to be people maybe who are of lesser means who might actually be able to use an Oculus or a Magic Leap or some other kind of device to travel to the same place, but from their own couch. But in many ways, it's actually going to create even more distance between those two people that psychologically.
Yeah, they go, that's the point. They're all staring at him going, that's the point. That's the point. That he goes, now in many ways, that will create actually more distance. And then there's four people, if you're listening to this, there's four people at the World Economic Forum staring at him going, right. It's like a doctor going, so now if you take this Ozempic, you might lose weight. They go, right, doctor, that's why we're doing that. So these four people are staring at, who is this? Andrew Ross Sorkin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's four people that are staring at him, and he's like, actually. And this is how out of it the journalists are, by the way. He's like, so now the guy, they might be traveling to the same place. One of them has an Oculus, and they're sitting on their couch, and one of them's actually going, and that's actually going to create more distance. Of course it is. Why are you even saying it like it's a shock? One guy's on his couch. Of course it is. He's like that. So if you're in Stade skiing and there's a guy on his couch thinking he's skiing, you're actually living two different lives. Yes, Andrew, that is the point. That is all we've ever cared about. All these people, they're so close to getting what they've actually always wanted, which is that you're literally, you're happy to just live in Netflix. That's all they want, by the way. All they want is you to live in Netflix. Look at me. I'm in Breaking Bad. I'm Walter White. That's all they want. Once they allow you to live in a complete reality that they've created, they get the world. They don't have to see your face anymore. That's that woman from that cast. I want to speak to Maurice. Well, I've planned it all with Maurice. Call him. Call Maurice. But that's what they're looking to do. Back to Kesh Patel here. Kesh Patel, okay, this is the director of the FBI. And I know like Candace covered this. I was actually on the phone with her. I talked about this. The disgustingly baseless attacks against Alexis, a true patriot, and the woman I'm proud to call my partner in life are beyond pathetic. She is a rock solid conservative and a country music sensation who has done more for this nation than most will in 10 lifetimes. By the way, how could that even possibly be true? But go on. I'm so blessed she's in my life. Can we get any of her music up, or will we get a copyright strike from the FBI? If we play Kesh Patel's girlfriend's country music, Will we get a copyright strike from the feds? Because I'm curious, by the way, if she's a country music sensation, I would just like to know that. I would like to know that. I'd like to be...
I think if we just play a little bit, it'll be okay.
Okay.
Back when old school was mainstream, radio was always clean. People read their news and angst. Steel guitar was on everything. Folks signed up to hear strains sing. Write this down, long live the king. Drop a needle down on a vine. Or windows down, just driving 4 miles. It feels like it's been
and
a
she
while.
Goes, Israel! They're like, no, hold on. You didn't get the lyrics? You didn't get the lyrics. Tel Aviv, I've been in Tel Aviv. It's such a pretty sea. I love Tel Aviv. Israel is for me. I love Cash Patel. Indians don't smell. That's a stereotype. I'm just a country star. I met him at a bar. I'm not a Mossad plant. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? There's lots of files in the office. It's impossible to say which ones are Jeffrey's. Let it go. She releases a song. Let it go. Because we're proud Americans. We're concerned with our families. We don't need to see no files. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. That's a Cash Patel girlfriend. God bless her and her music. Maybe go over to Kalshi.com and bet on how long do you think the government shutdown will last? Many people I know think it'll go to Thanksgiving. How fucked up is that? That's fucked. Let's be real. Owning a handgun for self-defense comes with serious responsibility. You need it secure, but also accessible when it matters most. Too often, that means choosing between locking it away or leaving it out, vulnerable to kids, guests, intruders. That's the problem Stopbox USA set out to solve, and they nailed it with the Stopbox Pro. It's a 100% mechanical, keyless, battery-free lockbox. It gives you instant, controlled access to your firearm, no electronics, keys, or codes required. No keys, codes, no apps, just a patented 5-button locking system that responds only to your unique input. It's fast, intuitive, and built for muscle memory, so you're not thinking, you're reacting. When seconds matter, that makes all the difference. Never worry about tariffs because everything is sourced right here in the USA. All Stopbox products are made proudly in their own facility right here in the USA. For a limited time, our listeners get 15% off at Stopbox when you use the code TIM at checkout. Head to StopboxUSA.com. I'll say it again. StopboxUSA.com and use code TIM for 15% off your entire order. After you purchase, they will ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Laughing at life is easier when you actually feel good. Between processed foods, environmental threats, the modern stressors of just existing in today's world, feeling run down has become the norm, but your body wasn't meant to feel this way. Armour colostrum is nature's original superfood. Colostrum is packed with over 400 bioactive nutrients that fortify gut health, strengthen immune health, promote healthy metabolism, and fuel fitness performance, because keeping up with the chaos of modern life is a lot more fun when you have the stamina to do it. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 30% off your first subscription order. Go to armour.com/Tim or enter TIM to get 30% off your first subscription order. That's armra.com/TIM. Strengthened immune health, fortified gut health. I mean, you need this stuff, folks. The benefits never end. They never end. It's never ending. Study finds nearly half of all LGBTQ plus characters will disappear from TV next season due to series cancellations. Well, here's what happened. People started to get stuff on TV just because it showcased a gay, lesbian, transgender, non-binary storyline. Some of the greatest characters in TV and movie history have been gay, lesbian, blah, 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 trans. But if you're getting projects on the air simply because you have a diverse character or storyline that you're shoehorning into something, it's going to suck. People are not going to watch it, and a lot of them are going to get canceled. This is what happened. We had an era when people just wanted to paint by numbers and they wanted to check boxes, and they would say, let's get this show on because this show's about, whatever, one-legged Palestinian non-binary barista or whatever, you know, which I would watch that. That actually does sound good, like a one-legged Palestinian kind of wheeling into a Brooklyn coffee shop who, and then falls in love with a Jewish woman. That I will watch. But many of it isn't good. Many of them aren't good. So I think what's happening right now is that there's a kind of a detente, hopefully, in the sense that people are no longer trying to force these shows if they totally suck. That doesn't mean also that there isn't a pendulum swing. There's always pendulum swings. Now, the Republicans now, the only one who seems to get it, as crazy as he might be, is Steve Bannon, who goes, no, we're in deep trouble. Bannon is talking about that, and he's telling the people on his side of the aisle they're in real trouble because the pendulum is now swinging back to economic concerns. Republican Party's talking about shit nobody cares about. And they're having, it's infighting, it's squabbling, it's all this stuff, and the Democrats are ascendant because, by the way, why not? No one's life is better since Trump took office, by the way. So at the end of the day, it's like, why not have an economic focus? I don't agree with a lot of his public safety shit, and I hope the city doesn't get, you know, completely insane, but I don't think it will. But you're going to see a lot of people. Yeah, let's watch Bannon here because, again, something interesting about this guy, you know, whether you love him, hate him, you find him dangerous. You know, I don't love all this stuff about like, oh, Trump's running again and all this stuff. And by the way, he keeps talking about, oh, this Trump's a generational leader. Yeah, but under Trump, we've seen a massive cover up of a child sex trafficking ring. We've seen, we've not seen the thriving economy that we saw in the first term. We've seen very sloppy immigration enforcement, inhumane and cruel raids that, by the way, ultimately will get Democrats elected. So number one, the reason to not like the raids, if you're a person, the reason to not like them is because they're inhumane and a lot of them are barbaric. Some of them are necessary, and some of these people have done fucked up things and are criminals, and some people are breaking the law and need to go home, and some people that even aren't criminals that have been here however long, maybe it's a few years or whatever the case may be, are need to be deported like they would be in any other country on earth. But the way that they're being carried out, the Kristi Noem reposting these AI videos, the needless cruelty, the unprofessionalism, the ICE agents in the Halloween mask, all this stuff, Democrats are getting elected and will continue to get elected. So if you're on the right, you look at this and you go, this has done nothing ultimately for border security, will ultimately hurt it. If you care about a secure border, which the Democrats probably don't, it's not part of their platform, really. Now, if they're smart and they make it part of their platform, I think they'll easily win. But again, I tell all these people what to do. No one does what I want, so everyone gets what they get. It's fine, and I get it. Who's listening to me? You're not going to always listen to me. That's fine. But Bannon kind of gets what's happening maybe on a cellular level that other people don't. Most people in America are not ideologues. The Republicans are captured right now by ideology. A lot of cerebral discourse on the future of America and the role of women and the this and the that. People are really focused on their pocketbooks, their money. People are not going to go back to the 1950s. It's not going to happen. This is a fantasy. And these guys want to go back to the Pax Romana. These people want like the Catholic Inquisition. That's not going to happen in America. Sane, sober-minded people are never going to support that, nor should they. It's the fantasy of people that spend most of their days online. But what Americans will do, they will elect people that will make the material considerations of their lives better. And Bannon knows that, and that's why Trump won. Trump won because of a cratering economy. people were looking at immigration going, it's out of control. Money's going abroad. Our kids don't have a future. Those were Republican issues, and they've lost them. Let's see Bannon here.
And I will tell you right now, as God is my witness, if we lose the midterms and we lose 2028, some in this room are going to prison, myself included.
He kind of likes jail. He's always talking about going to jail, but go on.
They're not going to stop. They are getting more and more and more radical. And we have to counter that. And what do we have to counter it with? We have to counter it with more action, more intense action, more urgency. We're burning daylight. If you look across every aspect of this, we have to codify what President Trump has done by executive order, right? We have to codify it. And people say, well, they're just going to be messing with the campaign. Senate, we got to put aside these structural barriers and get on with it.
He understands what's interesting about this guy. He understands that, and again, you could love him or hate him, and I don't hate him, but I think he's a force he's a force of chaos, but he's very interesting to listen to. And I had him on the show, I interviewed him. And what he understands about the country is he does understand there's forces that are trying to tear it apart all the time. Not just every 4 years or occasionally. And he knows some of those forces are embedded in the administration. I've talked to him about it privately. He knows, and publicly, he said it. He knows that a lot of forces in and around the administration are trying to steer it into a techno-utopian society where the rights of an American citizen are essentially meaningless. They don't matter. They are not, you know, they're not the principle by which society is built. Society is built in this new version with a huge emphasis on efficiency and people's rights getting trampled on and people's ability to live freely is going to be diminished to serve the greater goal of this transformation of society. Go to Larry Fink and get the tokenization of assets up. I want to, and I don't know if we have the video of that or if it's just a quote from him, but there might be a video, and they're talking about the transformation of the world economy, the global economy, and the whole entire thing is there's two parts to it. There's the financial part, which is, you know, I don't understand, and I'm not an expert, and I'm not going to pretend to be, and I'm not going to explain to you how that's all going to work. But the other part of that is going to be the power, how power is exercised in society and who has it. And what they're willing to do. This is the, I believe this is Larry Fink, who is the CEO of BlackRock. Larry Fink, friend of the show. Larry Fink, everyone.
I do believe we're just at the beginning of the tokenization of all assets, from real estate to equities, to bonds, across the board. There's $4.1 trillion of money in Citi globally in digital wallets. A lot of that money is outside the United States. If we could tokenize an ETF, you know, digitize that ETF, we could have investors who are just beginning to, you know, invest in markets through, let's say, crypto. They're investing in it, but now we could get them into the more traditional long-term retirement products. So we look at that as the next wave of opportunity for BlackRock over the next tens of years as we start focusing, moving away from, you know, traditional financial assets by repotting them in a digital manner and then having people stay in that digital ecosystem.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It's kind of like a soft fascism where you don't need a gun in your head because you can get, they can turn you off. So you can get put in jail for a social media post. They can turn the money supply off that you have. They have a digital ID. They can mandate, you know, if it's a vaccination or if you, it's a carbon passport and allow you to travel. They're gearing up for the next phase, which will be a, I've always said it will be climate related. And I still think that's a huge part of it, where they will kind of limit travel. They will talk about carbon emissions. This is, they're doing this all over the world. They took a little bit, and I think part of the immigration, the reason that they've flooded societies with immigration, number one, you can look at, obviously, it's people like Angela Merkel that just want to be, you know, Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and people want to, you know, seem like they're on the right side and all of that. But one of the reasons that they have made and will continue to make societies more chaotic is because the more chaos that's present in a society, the easier it's going to be to get people to accept the next phase of what's coming. That's pretty obvious. So if you know all of your neighbors and you all work and have a great life and are thriving and you're all looking out for each other, and by the way, you're not all the same race or religion, but there's a shared understanding of the values that you all have, and you're living in a community. And by the way, I'm now describing communities you have to be a multimillionaire to live in, by the way. Those regular Gilmore Girls American communities that everybody dreamed about, those communities now are places like the Hamptons, Sag Harbor, or whatever, these little cute towns in Westchester, New York, or somewhere in the South. And, you know, but these are expensive. And the very basic things that I'm talking about are now, they cost an arm and a leg. And most people are priced out of that. So most people are living in very large cities or, you know, kind of urban areas. They don't really know anybody. And that's fun when you're young and fun if you're old and rich. Less fun if you're middle-aged and you don't have a ton of money. It's less fun to live in a box in Brooklyn the first 20 minutes of the episode. But then you look around at the surrounding suburbs and a lot of them have been completely destroyed. So the reason that you would do that and you wouldn't care about the culture of a country is if you were about to completely rebuild it from the ground up. Completely restructure it. If you wanted less hurdles to that, you'd make people poor, you'd make them broke, you would make their communities into not, they wouldn't be desirable places to live. You would flood the country with different groups of people who didn't have a lot in common so that all of those people could never get together and oppose the things you want to do. You'd make people pretty desperate. You'd get rid of education standards. You would, you know, hollow out people's financial standing. They wouldn't be able to retire. Obviously, we've had a broken healthcare system forever. All of that would be done wittingly or unwittingly, but it unwittingly seems odd. It's a hell of a coincidence that all of this has happened. And now the next phase will be the every single problem that I just described. The solution is going to be participation in the next phase. And if you resist, you'll be able to resist. They're not going to come and show up to your house and put guns in your face yet, but you're just not going to get any of the things. So all of the things and the goodies and the creature comforts that you may want are going to come with a price. And the price is going to be you're going to now get on the grid in a serious, major way. And if you refuse that, you can go live in a, you know, you could go live in a failing town that's infrastructure is crumbling that we put no money into. But if you want to live in the city, the 15-minute city where you can walk and get stuff and you want a little job and it's a part-time job, you got to do the things. You got to get the digital ID. You got to, you know, you're going to have to, you know, submit to all these background checks and mental health scans and everything like that to make sure that you are not any type of problem. That's coming, and we can see it. And there's two phases of that. There's many phases, but the main two are the transformation of the economy and then the transformation of the political and cultural environment. And there are elements of the Trump administration and elements of their donors and funders that are pushing this to an unbelievable degree. And they want it to happen now. They want it to happen now. They want the rollout to start sooner. And if J.D. Vance wants a political future, he's going to have to come out and either distance himself from these people or talk about what exactly his vision is. He's going to have to break with Trump on some things. And because the people that I'm talking about, and we all know who they are, obviously, it's companies like Palantir, but it's not only them, by the way. It's not only them. There's a lot of companies, and there's a lot of donors that believe this stuff too. And they're connected to Trump, and some of them helped him win. So this is where we're at right now. And if you think I'm wrong, you could say I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. Okay. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to go, well, I was wrong about that. But it's very obvious that this government shutdown is only good for people that are sitting in the back going, massive dysfunction will require a massive response that will be nothing like you've ever seen. It will be different than anything that's come before. And there are elements of that community, the tech community, the big money donors that believe there needs to be an aristocracy, that the American government is kind of an outdated, archaic, broken thing, and that it needs to be replaced, and people don't care about democracy. They just want food, shelter, housing, you know, things. That's all they want. That's all they care about. They don't want rights. They don't want the freedom to say things or do things. They just want a standard of living. And if you give them that, they're going to be okay with it. They'll be okay with everything you do. They're not going to ask too many questions. So I never went down a zip line with my father in Laos. I never did it. I never did it. I never did it. But from a very young age, I made my parents take me on the types of vacations where I could observe the types of people that I met later in life that I'm talking about right now on this show. Hopefully, in another dimension, that poor kid who died is going to be an expert on zip lines or bugs or louse or rivers or something or anti-venom. Because I became an expert because my father took me to a castle and a woman said, I've planned everything with Maurice and call him. And by the way, the people in DC have planned everything with Maurice. And they're calling him right now. Good luck. Oh my God, trying to make progress with my finances has been a real problem. That's why I'm using Chime. Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up a direct deposit through Chime, you get access to fee-free features like overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, and more. Chime is banking done right. Open a checking account with no monthly fees and no maintenance fees. Get paid up to 2 days early when you set up direct deposit. With qualifying direct deposits, you're eligible for free overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. To date, Chime has spotted members over $30 billion. Open a checking account with no monthly fees, no maintenance, not to mention access to over 47,000 fee-free ATMs, more than the top three national banks combined. I mean, Chime is the best. The Chime features I love most, I love getting paid 2 days early with direct deposit. 24/7 customer support comes in hand because sometimes I'll have a question at 3 a.m. about my direct deposit. It's so amazing that they can answer it then. I'm working on my financial goals through Chime today, and I suggest you do as well. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/Tim. That's chime.com/Tim. Chime feels like progress.